This is Doug Miller. You know, Paul had a very fruitful ministry in Ephesus. He also had some run-ins with some people. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. We are back one more time with the Word of God in hand, and I think you will find this very profitable. I don't know why you tuned in. Maybe you're a regular listener. Maybe you just happened on this program by chance. Whatever. Makes no difference. We're delighted to have you and to welcome you once again for a period of time in the Word of God. We are in the book of Acts. We're in the 19th chapter, and we'll take it up at verse 8 today. And we will take a look at Paul's actions in the city of Ephesus. And I think, once again, you'll find it very profitable. Why not call a friend? Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to this end, we are utterly and absolutely dependent on the living God and on our listeners. We need your prayers. We need your word of mouth support. We need you to tell other people about us. We absolutely, as a faith ministry, cannot function without the support of those who are listening to us and who have an interest in this ministry. So pray for Dialogue. Call others. Tell them about us. And, of course, we would always like to hear from you. Always a delight and a joy to get letters from our listeners, to know that you're out there, that you're listening, to answer any questions that you might have, to provide you with any materials that we can. And anything that we do of that sort is absolutely no strings attached, free. We don't put your name on a mailing list. We don't get back in touch with you and ask you for money. We have never done that. We're never going to do it. It's just that simple. So write us. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. And if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, we also have we've got an email address. You can email us if you'd like, and we'll answer that in as intelligent a way as we can. Our email address is dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage is out there. You can pull that up, read about Dialogue, and pull down the broadcasts and play them for free. And this is out all over the world, so you can tell others about this, too. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, once again, all small letters, .org, O-R-G, dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you'd like to call and talk to us, our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You'll get a recording, but don't worry about it. I'll get back with you. I promise you. Okay, let's see. I think that's all of the preliminaries we need. Let's look at the Word of God. In verse 8, we have Paul. He is in Ephesus now. And it is from Ephesus that he will go down to Jerusalem and from there to Rome. So Paul is actually, whether or not he knows it, and he doesn't know it, but he is getting on toward the end of his ministry and toward the end of his earthly life. And now the two are the same, because I will assure you, Paul was not a man who was going to retire. As long as he was here on this earth, he was going to be putting the gospel out and talking to people and teaching people and encouraging people. And listen, that's a good thing for all of you to remember. There's no retirement from the service of the living God. When the Lord sends you to do something or gives you a gift to do something, whether it's teaching, preaching, evangelism, or merely sweeping out the church building. And I say merely, and perhaps that's an ill-advised term to use, because that's important. That needs to be done. And there's no retirement. You don't get to the point of saying, I retired. I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and he is in his mid-80s. He was a minister for many years of a very large and flourishing and fruitful church, and he is no longer a minister of that church. They have, I suppose, I don't know, they've got a younger man now, and my friend is sort of in, well, I don't know if they consider him retired, but he doesn't. He's teaching a Sunday school class, and he's teaching some home Bible studies, and he told me, I'll never retire. Good for you. Good for you. That's precisely how I feel about it, and that's how Paul felt. And no matter how far along he is, what is he doing? Well, in verse 8, we see it. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, this word disputing is an interesting one. It's the word from which we get our word dialogue. Dialogomenos is the word in Greek. And once again, it's our word for dialogue. It means to reason. It means to question. It can mean to debate. And that's exactly what he was doing. Paul with the Jews. I think it's very commendable of Paul that he never reached a point with his earthly people, his brothers and sisters of the Jewish persuasion. He never reached a point of saying, really, I'm through with you. Now, we've seen him in the past shake the dust off his shoes and saying, well, we're going to the Gentiles. You judge yourself to be unworthy of eternal life. But he was always willing to go back out there. And you'll notice that in this verse here, he was reasoning concerning the kingdom of God. This was very important to these Jews. This is something they were looking for and waiting for, and it is the kingdom that they associated with Messiah. And, of course, the kingdom is an earthly kingdom. We would call it the thousand-year millennial reign of Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is that time promised by God over and over again in the Old Testament through the prophets, that golden age that we are looking forward to. The Jews, of course, were always interested in this one, and the believing Jews are still even to this day, because what does it bring in? It brings in the exaltation of national Israel. It puts Israel at the center of things and Jerusalem at the center. It makes it makes Israel the head and not the tail. It regathers Israel. Messiah will regather Israel back to Israel, and Israel and Judah will be reunited. And that land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be theirs. What the Jews as a group generally cannot get through their heads and through their hearts is that Messiah is Jesus Christ. He is Jesus the Messiah. And that's precisely what Paul was reasoning with them here, but notice the reaction. When divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples. Off he went. You know, there's a time to leave a certain area behind. You can't go ahead, go on and on beating a dead horse, and Paul wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it. He didn't have the time or the inclination, probably, and the Lord didn't lead him in that direction. And there's something to be said here that all of us can learn a little lesson from. God's patience does not go on and on and on and on. God reaches a point, and we see this throughout Scripture, of saying, that's enough. You have heard. You have rejected. Goodbye. I think, for example, of the rich young ruler, you know, who came to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord told him, and he said, well, I've done all these things. And the Lord said, well, you lack something. Sell everything that you have, give the money away to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and you come follow me. Well, the young man, of course, I'm sure we all know the story, walked away sadly. He just turned and walked away. He had many possessions. He wasn't willing to part from them, and off he went. Did the Lord run after him and drag him back and say, well, I've got a better deal for you? No, he didn't. Difficult as it was and sad as it was, he watched him go away. And then he said to his disciples, it is very difficult for the rich to enter into the kingdom. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, he said. And here we have these Jews in Ephesus in the synagogue there. Paul reached a point of saying, that's enough. I've talked to you. I've told you. You're not interested. I'm going over to, and we find out here that he disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And once again, that disputing, it's our word dialogue again. He was dialoguing, talking back and forth, and maybe just preaching. Maybe he dialogued the way I dialogue. I don't know. But he was over there, we know from verse 10, for a space of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, friends, I can only let this say what it says. The word is all, and the word is Asia. And Asia, as you've heard me say on here before, or have probably heard from others, Asia is that area that we call Turkey today. And in that time, in this 2 year period, the word here is that all they in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. This was a very fruitful time for Paul. He was able to get this word out. And this was what it was all about for him. He could not, he would not be silenced. And he spent this time talking. And I don't know how this word got out. The Lord saw to it. And for those of you who are out there listening, if you wonder sometimes what you're doing, if you're a believer and you know, maybe you teach Sunday school and maybe you teach a home Bible study, I don't know what you do. Maybe you look around from time to time and you say, I don't seem to be doing any good at all. No one pays any attention. Here are a handful that come out, and I wouldn't worry too much about it if I were you. You be faithful where the Lord has put you, and leave the results up to the Lord. Paul did not, here in Ephesus, start some sort of an advertising campaign. He spent much time, as we see here, down in the school of a man named Tyrannus. The Lord opened that door, provided this space, and there he was disputing, debating, and the Lord saw to it that that word went out. Now, that's a word of encouragement to all of you out there. You be faithful where you are and leave the results to the Lord. Now, we also read here in verses 11 and 12 that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Well, I think that you need to take a look at this. I think we need to say a few words about this one, because this is something that is being done today, much to the discredit of those who are doing it, and much to the sorrow of those who are being taken in by it. I knew a man one time. He was very high up in one of the denominations. He was a bishop. And he told me that he knew some people, an old man and an old woman, a married couple. They were quite old, and they lived out in a rural area. And they had sent some money to a rather well-known televangelist who was sending prayer cloths to them. You send in your money, he sends you a prayer cloth, and of course this takes your diseases away and this heals you from all your ills, and if it doesn't, it's only because you don't have sufficient faith. And here was this elderly couple. They were sending money into this man, money that they, it put them in a little bit of a financial bind, and they were convinced that these prayer cloths they were getting were going to take their illness away, and I don't even think they were going to see doctors. This man who knew them got in touch with the televangelist and said, "What are you doing? You ought to be ashamed of yourself." Saying this to these people. Well, here are the verses that the man took it from right here, 11 and 12. But it doesn't say that God wrought special miracles by the hands of certain televangelists out here. It says by the Apostle Paul. Paul was an apostle, and this was the apostolic age, and it was the age in which Christianity was really being established, in which God was really attempting to get the people's attention, and he was doing many things then that he is not doing now. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I know that God will heal in response to prayer. I understand this, and I believe this. I believe that we should pray for the sick. But this sort of thing here, of trying to reduplicate miracles that were done by the Lord through Paul way back during this transitional age when we were transitioning out of Judaism and into Christianity, out of the old dispensation and into the new. If you know people who are trying to reduplicate this, I think you ought to pray for them and maybe even warn them. Because you know, if this is the kind of thing you're doing, I think you're on pretty dangerous ground. I do believe that the Lord will look out for his people, and that means elderly people out here who are believing and are being taken in many cases. All right, now that I've offended a few, let's move on. We've got another group here now. We have got individuals. Well, let's just read about them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priest, which did so. Well, isn't this interesting? I want you to notice, we adjure you by the name of the Lord Jesus, or of Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They didn't say the Lord Jesus. They called on the name of the Lord Jesus, though, and they're using it almost like some sort of talisman, almost like some sort of magic potion, pronouncing magic words. They might as well be saying hocus pocus. These men didn't know the Lord. They knew nothing about the Lord. They didn't even believe in the Lord. But they had seen Paul do this, and they understood that there was a degree of power here. They are not calling him Lord Jesus. They're just calling him Jesus. And, of course, no man can call Jesus Lord, we know in from 1 Corinthians 12, but by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was not resting on these individuals. They were involved in something very dangerous, and let's see what happens. The evil spirit in verse 15 answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks who also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now there is a great lesson to be learned from this one. The Lord Jesus Christ is what you either know him and he knows you, or you are in a lot of trouble just mouthing the words Jesus and Lord. And that's exactly what we have here. These individuals weren't interested in glorifying the Lord Jesus. They were, it says back in verse 13, exorcists. And they were interested, friends, in glorifying and honoring themselves. And that will not work. And we see what happened to them here. And that's good enough for them. That's good enough for them. And the Lord Jesus was magnified anyway. I love it. When this statement here, we know, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, and it's sort of interesting. I want to just slow down a minute here and take a look at the Greek, because I think that there are two different words for know, and I'm turning slowly to the Greek here, and I am looking at verse 15, and he answered to them, the evil spirit, I know Jesus, genosko, and the Paul, epi apistemai. And it's sort of like I know in the sense of understanding Paul. But this evil spirit knew both of them. For those of you who are philosophers, this epistemology is the word from that we get from this word about his knowing Paul. It's like I understand him. I know him in the sense of knowing what makes him tick. But who are you? I don't know you. And once again, just pronouncing the name of Jesus did absolutely nothing for these guys except get them beaten up and their clothes ripped off. So, you know, for those of you out there who are mouthing the words Lord, Lord from time to time, you need to take a good look at this. Do you know him? Does he know you? Would he say, yes, I know this individual. I know him and I know her well. I understand them. You know? Think about it. We've got in verse 18 as we end up here, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. A lot of people were getting saved here. Well, that's all we'll have time for today. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.